Hi, Shalom. It's Rabbi Jim Egolf. I want to thank you so much for joining me this week. I've been on vacation, which is why you haven't been hearing too much from me. So I'm still in the middle of vacation, supposedly. We'll see if I can actually realize that dream. But I wanted to get back to getting in touch with you and sharing some thoughts with you. This week, we're going to take a bit of a look at a holiday that I think that we really need. In Mechilta Derabba Ishmael, one of the mitzvot that a son is responsible for doing or completing himself if his father doesn't do it for him, is the mitzvah of learning about civics. And so I want to talk a little bit about civics this week. I want to talk about its role within our society, our country, and why it's possibly even something that we need to be doing religiously. Again, I thank you so much for joining me. You can always email me at rav as in Victor, J-I-M, at AOL.com, or you can Skype me at 610-624-3441 from any phone in the United States of America. That's my Skype line. I thank you for joining me, and shalom. I was saddened to learn this past week of stroke suffered by the actor Ralph Archbold. You may not know this particular name, but you would know the man who he portrayed and portrays in the streets of Old City, Philadelphia. He was the charismatic character of one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. My hope is that as we celebrate Independence Day, we take a moment to reflect on this wonderful man and others who take the responsibility to bring our history and make it live for in our lives today. This brings me to a difficulty we encountered in the Torah this week, though, that we struggle with today in our country. What happens to us when we forget our stories and we begin to believe that the world is really all about us? To begin our conversation, I need only turn to our Torah portion to find a lapse in memory that occurred and then created a severe judgment. In the Torah portion, Chukat, we find that Moses and Aaron are totally flummoxed as they sit and listen to the Israelites complain. God instructs Moses to speak to a rock, and the rock will yield water for the community to drink. Moses, however, forgets this instruction and purports to bring water from the rock from his and Aaron's own power or doing. The text tells us that he turns to the people and says, "Fools, from this rock shall we bring water?" And then Moses proceeds to strike the rock, not once, but twice. It was at this point that God spoke to Moses and informed him and Aaron that neither of them would enter the promised land. They would not go into the land of Canaan. When we read this, many people get upset with the actions of our God. It seems that Moses and Aaron should not be punished so severely for just they hit a rock. Yet, it's more than a rock. The episode symbolizes the instruction given to Moses from God. Moses is supposed to carry out that charge faithfully and make sure that the Israelite community understands that at least he and Aaron believe in their charge and their mission. To break faith with God in the sight of all the people is to, if only for a moment, and yet it's a really critical moment. For Moses and Aaron to appear to abandon one of the key purposes of Torah, which is laying out instruction, God can't tolerate that. To be holy and to affirm the holiness of God doing wonders. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And when they decide to take matters into their own hands, or claim they're taking matters into their own hands, God cannot abide. So when Moses and Aaron decide to own the ability to bring water out of the rock, when in Hebrew they say, Notzeh lechem mayim, and Notzeh, by the way, is the plural of Motzi, God who brings forth bread from the earth, Motzi. It is here when they say Notzeh, when they present themselves acting in God's stead, that they've crossed the line. I talk about this because I wrestled with the words that our founding fathers spoke to us regarding what we should do as a nation. They charge us, tell us what our purpose is in our preamble, in order to form a more perfect union. According to Major Paul Hurley, writing from Manas Air Force Base, Kyrgyzstan, to his soldiers, November 17th, 2007, he writes on a blog, "It is very interesting to be in a country that is a young democracy. Recent events in other countries like Pakistan remind us that democratic ideals such as individual liberties, free speech, and access to information are issues that need to be continually addressed. The United States has struggled with the same ideas, and in some ways, after more than 200 years, still does today. As you travel the world on deployments and engage host nationals, you may find them very inquisitive about our United States history and form of government. I have found on occasion that some folks don't quite understand the distinctions made between democratic forms of government and a constitutional republic. Just after the completion and signing of the U.S. Constitution on September 17, 1787, in a reply to a woman's inquiry as to the type of government the founders had created, a republic, if you can keep it, was the response of Franklin, which got me thinking of how we view this charge today. Do we still live towards a more perfect union? Or do we too often see politicians and people trading in short-term political points, in limited time horizons, while all the time committing the sin of Moses and Aaron by taking our nation and saying, we're doing this, we're upholding its values, we're playing the hero at the expense of a more perfect union? Too often in the recent past, the holiday we celebrate tomorrow is about who can present themselves as being the most patriotic, as opposed to reflecting on our charge of to form a more perfect union. If there is to be a celebration on the 4th of July, it seems to me that the 3rd of July should be a national holiday of reflection. The 3rd of July needs to be a day of studying the documents upon which our country was founded and wondering how we have perfected our union or detracted from this central dream of our founders. On this 3rd of July, we could point to many possible precious moments that define the grandeur of our democracy. We've elected our first African American president. We now stand poised to have our first Latina Supreme Court justice. We are possibly maturing into the more perfect union where perfect is to be shared. We are arriving at the better place, the promised land, because we're walking the walk of our cherished ideas. Still, though, we have not been perfect in other ways. We struggle to come to terms with the issues around torture. If waterboarding 183 times was so necessary to perfect our union, then why all the secrecy? All too often, our bombs still kill innocent men, women, and children. We have placed our military in foreign lands. And while they are willing, more than willing, to carry out any mission in the name of defending the Constitution to which they swore loyalty, questions arise regarding where we, as a country, send them and what impacts they can realistically have. Our banking system has shown itself to be more interested in making kings of its executives and less inclined to be good citizens of this country and system that has made their prosperity possible. What good is it to speak to the 25 to 50 million Americans of tightening their belts because they are unemployed or underemployed when our government enables the greed we have seen? And should any of us dare, dare to call this the perfection of our union? Then there are the questions we still face. Did we leave Iraq too late or too soon? Or should we have ever been there? And how does this perfect our union? If our financial industry is destroying our country and its currency, should we not demand that it either be brought to account or punished for its transgressions that have moved unemployment to 9.5% nationwide? I present these to you because Ben Franklin and a rabbi known as Israel Salanter, for some inexplicable reason, wrote upon the perfection of the soul, or Cheshbon HaNefesh. And maybe the perfection of the soul is tied into the perfection of this union. The idea being that one should strive to work upon one's own soul to improve the self, and thus be a better person in one's community. I think that we would better ourselves as a country by beginning to have a July the 3rd observance, a day where we nationally reflect upon this precious inheritance we, as a country, have the responsibility, privilege, and obligation to study its founding documents, where we would learn and ask and ponder what it means to be an American for each of us in our communities. Perhaps we could avoid the mistake made by Moses and Aaron, where they had to be right because of who they were. Maybe we should learn what is right by studying our texts and considering their words, rather than assuming that we are right simply because we are Americans. The first activity would honor our country and strengthen our roots. The latter, well, it takes us back to Egypt. It takes us further away from a promised land. It removes us from being able to achieve the dream of perfecting a more perfect union. Shalom.